What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens, but trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
This is He Said, Ella Dijo with Eric Winter and Rosalind Sanchez.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hola, He Said, Ella Dijo. ¿Cómo está mi gente?
Bien, bien.
Bien, bien. What's happening, Eric?
Oh, not too much. Not too much. Hey, can we talk a little bit about you having to apologize to parents at the basketball game the other day?
Are you joking?
Can we start off with that?
No.
Why?
Why do you want to bring
Why
it up?
Why do you keep getting in trouble at sporting events?
I didn't.
Lost her bananas. So listen, Sabella's playing basketball for school, sixth grade. The team's doing great, by the way. We are 4-1.
Uh-huh.
Some close games. I think we're going to make the playoffs. We played a good school Wednesday, I think it was. And listen, it was a very physical match, terrible refereeing. I mean, only one ref. We usually have two. He missed so many calls, made so many bad calls on both sides. Both family, you know, parents of each team were frustrated. And then he called a traveling call and the other team didn't hear it and they kept playing and they scored a basket. And I think everybody knew that it was going to be reset because he called traveling and Rosalind stood up and said, nope, redo it. And he called travel and starts yelling so loud in the gym that the other parents started going, yeah, we get it. Calm down. She didn't hear any of it. I said, listen, they're all talking about you over there. You lost your mind for a second. What would they know? They're not going to count the points. And she was so.
So I felt bad and I went over to 20 parents and I said, I have to apologize. That was a little too much. After I did it, I realized, ooh, that was not cool. Some of them laughed. Some of them, a lady gave me a high five, and they, which is, that's okay, we understand. And she said, but there was a guy specifically that I was like, ha ha ha, laughing. And
he
gave me a death stare. And I was very close to saying something, but I was like, you know, I just came to apologize. So I'm going to gain nothing by telling him what. But that took me a little bit of, okay, breathe.
Why do you lose your
I don't know.
Your like, it's almost like you can't control it.
Yeah.
Even when they're like wrestling for the ball, you always go,
because it scares me. I don't want anybody getting hurt.
But they're going to figure it out.
But maybe they won't. They're kids. But, and they get very competitive and very physical. And it pains me.
Do you think you gain anything by interfering in the sport?
Yeah, because maybe by them listening to this awkward sound, it takes the attention away from trying to be so aggressive.
So what do you
and
do?
And knowing that there's a mom that if this gets out of hand, she's going to come over and slap at me.
But that's not what you want. You don't want to go on a court and start going at children.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just joking.
No, I know.
I'm not going to do that. But what I'm saying is I can't control it. This is the point. I cannot control
it. Should you be there then?
Maybe I shouldn't.
I know that I also get very nervous. I mean, very similar to even more watching Sabella play tennis. We're much more vocal in basketball because we're allowed to be, but it's overtaking you a bit.
I know. I was taking a shower yesterday and I was like, do parents think I'm crazy? Even parents from our school
think you're crazy.
That are a part of our team. Mm-hmm. Some of them are good friends of mine. Others are just acquaintances. You know, it's like, hi, how are you? Good to see you. It's very, very cordial, but we just don't really relate too much. I wonder if they look at me like I am.
For sure.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you're the only one that gets involved. I mean, listen, I start calling, travel call. I start calling fouls. I start calling things. But a lot of parents do.
But should I apologize for passion?
When it's a little aggressive?
I shouldn't apologize for passion.
Yeah, but you see these, people that actually handle things very poorly in Little League sports.
But I don't handle anything poorly.
But it starts
I'm just
with
loud.
That.
No. I'm loud and I am honest.
But it starts with that.
With
like
what?
Like if you jump up and you're like, no, and you start screaming at the kids and at everybody else, then another parent steps up to defend those kids and then they start screaming at you and then you start screaming at them and that's how it escalates.
I haven't disrespected any kids.
No, you don't disrespect the kids.
Zero.
You just scream at the situation.
Even when they score, I clap for them.
Yeah,
even
no,
if it's
you're
the
good
opposite
at,
team.
We're both good at that, like sportsmanship for both sides and all that. But I think we have to get you into some kind of sports therapy because for children so you can start learning how to control your emotions, breathe, let the kids play. You're not going to prevent injury. In fact, you could actually cause
that
injury
kills
by
me.
Distraction.
No,
yeah,
at all.
You could.
The injuries, they bother me so much.
It's every sport and you can't do anything about it. Like they're going to work it
they're
out.
They're kids and they're just being sloppy and careless.
I know,
I don't like it. And some girls get a little too testy for
but
me.
But you're going to
I don't like that
on
behavior.
On our team, we've had it happen too. Some of our girls have gotten too testy. So it's like you have to.
No, not our team.
100%. Really? Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know why I am out of control. I'm a very passionate person.
That you are.
So then.
All right, let's work. Let's
then
work on
I think
this.
Other people, the parents should get a little bit more spicy. Have some flavor inside those veins.
We should talk to Javi about this. Let's discuss this in therapy next time. All right. So I had to bring that up. I wanted to put you on the spot.
Anyways,
sorry.
I know you did. Jada Pinkett. She's all over the news. Do we want to talk about Jada? How do you feel about lying to the world about the status of their marriage? They were not even together.
Well,
for many, many, many years.
What I also, I have so many opinions on this, and I really.
So go.
I have to check myself.
Manifest
the View, which I'm not crazy about the View either, but the View had a bunch of opinions that I agree with that. Some people felt like it wasn't a big deal, and some people felt like this is clearly to promote a book that's coming out, to reveal all these things, to go out in the press and start talking about this now. Why? Because the book's about to launch? One of the biggest things that kind of bothered me a bit was after the Chris Rock slap, she didn't defend anything. She was mum's the word. She was... Actually, the way I took it, pro-Will.
She stood by him.
She stood by him. She didn't defend anything. Cut to the book's about to come out, and the first time she's going to comment about that slap, now she says, I had no idea. I thought it was staged and didn't realize he had really hit him until he was walking back to his chair, and I could tell that was real. So she thought it was all staged. But wait, she's waited this long? To come out and say that?
Well, maybe now she's ready to
Why?
Speak.
Because the book's coming out?
Because she needed to process and she needed to...
Because the book is coming out?
No, absolutely. She's talking about it because the book is coming
That's
out.
My
but
point.
Maybe now the book is coming out now because now she's ready to be honest and to be open and transparent about who she is and who they are. But I don't even want to talk about Jada and Will specifically, because you know what? It's not our business. I want to talk about...
It's more about people just promoting things, like coming out at certain times to promote gossip books.
But they all do.
I know. Like they say Britney Spears has a big one coming out. That's, I guess Justin Timberlake is not going to be very happy about.
And she shouldn't.
But they all, everybody's doing it for more money.
Listen, this guy is married with kids.
That's
been so many years. You gain nothing but,
I know, but
people
juicy gossip to make money.
But it's disgusting. You don't need money.
She
doesn't need any money. Let him be.
That's why I like what our boy McConaughey is doing with his books. Like they have a purpose. It's about his own life and ways he might be able to help people, or about helping, you know, people and children.
Yeah, but he's not trashing anybody.
I'm saying I love it. That's why I like what he's doing with being an author. But when people are doing these, I don't know, these books about themselves, but including everybody else into the conversation for attention,
my question to you is, do you respect a couple or two individuals that pretend to the world they're married, school people about life and love and commitment and all that, when in reality, behind closed doors, they're not together?
I don't love that at all. I don't know how much they talk. I don't watch Red Table Talk or any of that. I don't listen to it. I don't know how much they talk about relationships and how...
They talk about everything. It's actually a
wonderful... But do they talk about how successful their marriage is? Do they say those words, or are they kind of just... Because I know she had, you know, had an affair with her son's friend and all
crazy.
That stuff. So I don't know. I think you should... Otherwise, it comes off too phony. Like, you should live your truth. If you're living separated and you don't want to talk about the fact that you're separated, you can, I have no problem with someone doing that, but I definitely don't think you should be out there coaching people about marriage or talking about how you know how to make things work if you can't make it work at home. It's complicated for
sure.
It's
very complicated. You know what's interesting? It says here that she had suicidal thoughts when she was in her 40s, and she says that taking ayahuasca, which is a hallucinogen, that's how you say it?
Yeah.
The suicidal thoughts went away.
A lot of people say ayahuasca does powerful things.
And make you super sick.
Well, for some, apparently it can definitely get people deep into their own psyche and learning about themselves and past traumas and things like that and help people heal. It's got a lot of healing powers.
Do you think you will ever do ayahuasca?
I'm too scared. I'll be honest. I know it's, you know, a lot of people that have, and they don't have any major effects, side effects afterwards, but I would be just a little scared that I would lose myself, that I know the person I know.
That's what I think. You got that from me, because I just go, what if I go on this trip and then I never come back? I find it irresponsible because we have children. But a lot of people that do it and love it say that's not possible. It doesn't work like that. The reality is we don't know anything about ayahuasca.
We don't. What I do know is that we're always changing. And it's funny, it made me just think about this book that I'm listening to right now called Range by David Epstein. And I talked to you about this book because I shared the podcast with you about this guy talking about Federer versus Tiger Woods and the strategy of parents and coaching.
Yeah, yeah,
so this whole book, though, is going through what I realize now. It's going through like massive points in life about development of children, just in general, whether it's school, studying, music, painter, I mean, all kinds of people, right? And they say people, the strongest point of change in someone's personality in their life is between 18 and 20s.
That late?
That's when the biggest jump in personality change happens in someone's life.
Okay.
And it's drastic. And it's to the point that there are traces of who you once were in your personality that make you still who you are, but it's not the same personality of the person that was 12, 10, 14.
That's 30. Weird.
It's really interesting, but these are studies, right? Because you're constantly evolving as a person. So in this book, and I say all this only because what we were just talking about right now made me think about someone going through change deep into their psyche, you know, ayahuasca, how it could change who you are and blah, blah, but we are always sort of changing. And I could see someone getting past traumas healed through maybe a process like that, because you're going deep into your psyche, which is hard to access maybe through any other way besides a hallucinogen. But it is fascinating to me how much we evolve constantly as people. And what's crazy, and this is kind of diverting from the topic that we were just discussing, but people don't really fall into their professionalism of what they're going to be as a human until much later in life. And you hear these stories of athletes starting, you know, as babies, savants starting, but they're truly the anomaly. They are the unique ones that are so good at one thing or take on a craft at a young age. But so many greats, I didn't know this, Van Gogh didn't even become Van Gogh that we know until he was like 30 something and then he died. And now he's one of the most recognized painters ever in history. But he was mocked as a painter when he decided in his life later that he wanted to start studying art and painting and doing these things.
Yeah. And Serena, everybody thinks that her life was just tennis and the parents will only make her play tennis obsessively, almost like you have to do this. But the reality is she practiced dance. She loved dancing. She would go to dance class and football, and she would throw the football all the time. She dominated, she was into other disciplines.
She did.
That made her a well-rounded tennis player.
But I feel like she's sort of in the middle. Like she was still massively, you know, the family was pushing tennis. There was other things to sort of, I think, craft her well-rounded, make her a well-rounded individual, especially with sports. But it was different than, say, Federer, which I also learned, who was really driving in soccer and basketball and other things. His mom was a tennis coach and said he was horrible. And she was like, why could I coach him? He would just drive me crazy. He was terrible. And not until he became in his teens, like 13, like 14, that he really said, okay, I think I'm going to stick to tennis. And flourished to become, at that time, the greatest tennis player of all time. Mm-hmm. Until now, we have Djokovic and all that, right? But he was a late bloomer in the spectrum of sports, whereas Tiger Woods was on, you know, Johnny Carson doing, you know, driving the ball on TV at 2 or 3 years old and went beating people at 10 years old that he's like four on the golf course. So this book is very fascinating. I'm learning a lot about the growth and change, and it's true because, look, I'm a perfect example. I wasn't a child actor. I didn't even want to be in entertainment. This was not my profession. I wanted to be a doctor. I had zero intention of going into entertainment. I didn't go into entertainment until my 20s. And then it became my profession. And thankfully, I'm successful at it. You are the other way, right? You've always been a performer since you were a child, and you did follow that path and you became successful at it. But there's often many of, you know, that area in between.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting how people come into their own much later in life than you would think.
As an actor, a producer, and a proud Latino father, my days can get very busy, which is why I make sure to dedicate time to what's important, like supporting my community through my work, sharing my Colombian and Venezuelan culture, and being present for my family, which is everything to me. Hey everyone, it's Wilmer Valderrama. And when reflecting on what matters most, I start by giving thanks for good support in my life whenever I need to make the big decisions. How about you? If it's insurance you need, State Farm is there to help you choose the right coverage for you. And State Farm offers great support 24/7. Just call an agent. State Farm is also a big supporter of my Cultura podcast network by helping to share our Latinx voices. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What about Howie Mandel has really bad OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder?
Yeah.
And the wife, after many, many years of marriage and kids, says, I'm going to give you an ultimatum. Mm-hmm. You need to seek help because we cannot deal with this anymore. You're out of control. And he didn't. He refused to go to therapists and psychiatrists and to deal with the problem because, you know, a lot of times you're in denial.
Well, I knew he was a germaphobe. I didn't know how much OCD he had, like if it's David Beckham OCD, which we just saw the documentary, mm-hmm. and he's super meticulous about everything he does. But Howie was also a complete germaphobe. Like he was constantly cleaning everything all
and
the time.
And he will not touch things that the kids or the wife had previously touched. So it just became that, like, I wonder how does it feel to live with somebody that is OCD to that extreme that is affecting your social skills and it's affecting your life and the life of people around you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how to speak to that because I've never experienced it myself or with somebody else.
Like, I wonder what part of the brain, because it's a neurological issue. Like, I wonder what neurotransmitter, like, where is it coming from that you assume everything is dirty and it has germs and they're going to get to you and you're going to get sick and you wash your hands, but you have to do it again because it doesn't register.
Some people do it incessantly where they're scraping skin off.
Yeah, it doesn't register in your brain. Like the human body is fascinating, man. I just go, what the heck is going on? Like phobias and things like that had to do with your nervous system and your brain. It's bananas.
So, I mean, I feel like I'm pretty good, well-rounded person. What would you change about me? Would you give me an ultimatum about anything to say you have to improve on this?
You control. You control this.
Why do you always say that? That is so... Oh my God.
Because you're crazy controlling about everything.
That is not accurate. That is not. We've had this conversation
so many
times. Well,
guys, it's been 18 years that I've been saying it, and he's still denying it.
Because there's so many times we talk about the difference between someone helping and someone having control. Like that, there's a fine line between true controlling, which I don't think you live through true controlling.
That's your neurological capability of seeing it. You see how people wash their hands over and over again? OCD, your OCD is not accepting and understanding that you have a control issue. I'm not saying control like macho, like you cannot wear that. I'm not talking about that kind of control. Yeah, I'm not talking about that kind of control. But in your mind, things, you're very OCD about the way, you're so structured that you don't see anything else past that.
Yeah, that I agree.
It's very difficult for you.
I do.
And it becomes controlling because if somebody wants to do something else, but you cannot comprehend how to do something else because in your mind, the correct thing to do is this.
But that goes both ways in most people in most marriages. We just had this whole debate over a hedge in our backyard and you insisted it be one way. I insisted it be the other way and I compromised and gave it to you your way.
No.
So that's not controlling.
No, you didn't give it to me my way.
Yeah, we eventually dropped it down.
No, I would have dropped it all the way.
But then...
100%.
We dropped it way lower than I would have wanted to do.
But you're out of your mind. Control.
I think it's called compromise.
No, you compromise, but you don't compromise fully because you're still very much stuck in your ways.
But don't you think that's what marriage is? It's compromise. So if you would have gotten your way completely, there's no compromise. That's controlling on your part. If I would have gotten my way, that would be controlling on my part. So
no,
you have to
compromise.
No, because
I already compromised by having a whole year of not having a view while the hedges grew.
Yeah, but there was a purpose to it, right? We were creating privacy.
No, I would just,
so it wasn't just for random acts of growing.
I would have done it differently.
Well, guys,
anyways,
I guess
I have a lot to
work on. That's
no, you don't.
This is
you
deep.
Ask me the question.
Yeah.
You want me to not to be honest? And
no.
I just answered. Everything else, you're incredible. You just have control issues. That's all.
Okay, next topic. Woman with two vaginas. I like that transition. Listen, this is the first time I've ever heard this in my life. This is, wow, really interesting topic. But what's more interesting than the biological aspect if she has two vaginas is that she uses them for different purposes. Blows my mind. So when she was 20, she discovered that she had two wombs, right? Two uteruses. She has two vaginas. I'm sure she knew that sooner, but she has, I don't know how she figured this out so late, right? When she was 20, that feels like a very long time to figure that out about yourself. Anyways, it has impacted her dating life quite a bit, which I feel like I can imagine that. Now she said she uses one side of the vagina for her husband, who also works on OnlyFans. And then she uses the other side of her vagina as a sex worker. And her husband's cool with that. So her right vagina is her favorite vagina. So she keeps that for her husband. But the other one, she uses it for other people. Huh. What are your thoughts on this?
I'm looking her up. New York Post. I have two vaginas. What am I husband?
Clearly, he's not controlling because he's letting her use the vagina for other people.
Oh my God.
Clearly, this guy is, you know, that's the kind of guy you're seeking. Someone who's not controlling.
I'm not
who's
seeking
saying, use
oh
whatever
my
vagina
God.
You want to use.
Oh my God. She's a pretty girl.
What do you think about this, though?
But I'm confused about, okay, I don't want, because I'm looking at her up, guys, and she looks perfectly normal.
Wait, how are you going to see? You got to take her pants
no,
off.
No, but
see.
Like I don't understand the concept of having two,
she has two
this,
openings,
oh, but it's
two
inside.
Wombs.
No,
yeah,
this
well,
is what it is.
It's, yeah,
this
of course.
Is what it is.
What do you mean? Of course it's inside. She has two wombs. She has,
so from the outside, you will never know.
No, how are you going to know that?
I know, but if it's inside.
How are you ever going to know? Everything we're talking about is inside. You would know from the outside, from the vaginal perspective, that there's two.
So you think if you look at her open vagina,
what,
you'll see that there's two openings?
What
I'm
blows
confused.
My mind? I guess this is the thing. To each his own, I try not to judge people at all. But this is the part I'm trying to wrap my head around. Does it really matter that she has two vaginas if she's justifying using one for her husband and one for other partners versus just having one vagina and using it for other people and for their partner? Does it really take away the zing that you're out there sleeping with other people?
What is the zing? What is
the zing? Like the pain, the shock, the problem. Either way, you're sleeping with other people.
Repeat that again. I don't know
what
you're saying.
I'm saying the reason that she defines that the one vagina is her favorite, so she keeps that for her husband, and the other vagina, she uses it for other people.
It's lunacy.
That to me is just an excuse to continue to have to sleep around.
It's ridiculous.
And the husband's clearly cool with it, so it's basically having an open marriage. I don't think the double vagina factor saves it from being an open marriage.
No, they cheat on each other and
well,
they're comfortable.
It's open marriage. They're open about it.
justifying the act by saying it's a different point of entry than the other one that is reserved for my husband. It's out of a movie. I don't think this is true, Eric.
She's being attacked on social media about it.
It makes no sense. But again, people can do whatever they want with their body parts.
That's what I say. I'm not judging her for having an open marriage. I just think using the explanation of having two feels like a weak explanation.
Would it be exciting for you to have a wife that has two vaginas only for you? She's not sharing with nobody else. That you go Mondays, I go this way. On Tuesdays, I come this way. Thursdays, I poke both.
Well, that's just weird. Unless they have different sensations, then no. It would be just
they want to have different sensations.
Yeah, then one is plenty.
Are there differences that for men, if you compare one girl to the other and having sex, is there different sensations? Like your wheelie feels different compared to the vagina?
There are factors that could make a person different.
Why? How?
Lubrication, this, that, the other. Some people might be a certain way. There's different shape, size. I mean, yeah, I guess there's ways. It's getting pretty graphic. Yeah, but there are ways that can feel different.
I have no idea.
It's
all the same. It's a canal. You go in and out.
Yeah, that part of it's all the same, but there are aspects of it that could be different. Yes.
Really?
Yeah. For sure. I mean, just same way that men are different. How about this? Did we talk about this on the last episode? The crazy show we saw on HBO about the naked dating?
Please don't.
Did we talk about this?
That's
a perfect example, though. So we watched this show. I think it's called Naked. I don't know. Guys, what is the craziest thing
I've
ever heard of?
It's disgusting.
It is basically the dating game where all the contestants are naked and you are judging. It's the opposite of Love is Blind, essentially. Everybody is naked. HBO Max, everybody. This is what the strike did for programming.
Don't go watch
Everybody is naked behind a screen and they raise the screen up just above the waist. And the person is judging them based on their genitalia, front and back, what they like, what they don't like about their toes, their privates, their butt, all those aspects. Then it goes up higher. They see the midsection. They continue to judge them. They have to eliminate in every round somebody. Then it goes to the final round and you see the face. And then they still have to eliminate. And then after that person selects two that they want to date, then that person has to get naked. The contestant has to get naked and be judged by the two that they picked. Doesn't mean that they walk away, but they go on a date. My point is, they talk about it there, even with men. It's like girth versus length versus curvature versus this versus uncircumcised, circumcised, all these different factors. They talk about that. So the same thing with women. There are aspects that can make it different for everybody. So I think that should answer your question. That should make more sense to you.
Like, what is the culture that they don't like to circumcise? Is it Jewish? No, Jewish people do circumcise.
Yeah, I don't want to generalize.
English people don't.
No, just in Europe there can be different people that don't. But it's I don't know if there's a specific culture.
But in America it's
generally
common,
practiced. Yeah,
it's practiced.
Yeah,
I wonder why.
This show is a British show, so a lot of the contestants were not.
They were not exactly.
But let me just tell you, crazy show for dating. And the people that get eliminated, they transform them into being dressed. So you see what they look like had they had clothes on, which is a trip to me because someone can look so much better fully clothed. And then you see them not and you're like, oh. And then some people could actually look better undressed and you see them clothed and you're like, I would probably never approach them. Wild.
What is crazy is funny to me how you have like seven women in front of you and their breasts looks so different. I think the nipples, the shape is like, it's insane.
Same with the men.
I know, but with women, it's kind of like, oh my God, like the concept of a breast, everybody's so different.
What cracked me up is one guy eliminated a girl because her pinky toe climbed up on top of
like
the other toe.
Like his.
And he said, I can't deal with that. But then you reveal her face.
Because he had it.
I guess. You reveal her face and her teeth were going like a bridge in the front of the mouth. And I'm like, you were cool with the teeth, but you're not cool with the toe? This is the craziest thing. I mean, we're talking everything.
I don't want to talk about this show anymore because we're hyping it up and we're actually promoting this show.
No, it's actually fascinating.
No, it's disgusting.
But it's fascinating in the sense that it's strictly based on attraction, whatever that may be for each person.
No.
It's all physical. There's nothing about personality. You don't get to know the personality until they go on a date. And then they decide if they're going to go on more dates. They do, they catch you up on that.
The crazy thing, guys, is that they're fully naked.
Fully naked.
It's like a watching porn, basically. They're fully, fully naked. It's random. I don't know why, how that gets made. I don't know what mind comes up with the concept and gets and makes a pitch and actually goes to a network or a studio, pitches that show, and then there's a buyer.
I might have to watch it again tonight.
Are you joking?
Yeah, why not?
Wow.
We'll see.
Okay.
It's interesting.
Go.
Well,
enjoy yourself. Love you.
Till next time. Love you.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to write us a review and tell us what you think.
If you want to follow us on Instagram, check us out at He Said Ella Dijo or send us an email, ericandross@iheartradio.com. He Said Ella Dijo is part of iHeartRadio's My Cultura podcast network.
See you next time.
Bye.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. 19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.